Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 494. And as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, any purchases you make after a little while for like a 24-hour period or so, we get a kickback on it. Doesn't cost you anything, but helps us keep the show going. It's just a nice affiliate link for us. You're familiar with affiliate links, I'm sure. So that's how that works. Just helps out and keeps things rolling. As always, we are hosted by Bob. I'm just doing intro this week. What's going on, Bob?
You took over my intro spot. I think you did. You did a really good job with the intro.
Bang up job, huh?
Yeah, I really like that. Did we talk about Prime Day?
I think we did a little bit last week. I ended up buying it had just started or coming up. So I ended up buying a dash cam for my wife's car, SD card for her car. What else did I get? I feel like there was like, oh, she wanted an immersion blender or like a nice.
Oh yeah. We did talk about that. Yeah.
A Vitamix blender. So yeah, just a couple random things.
Gotcha. This week's podcast is also brought to you by our friends over at ASRock and their Steel Legend Platinum Series power supplies. And I need to get one of these in because I don't have one, but I've seen these at both CES and Computex. And just like how ASRock got into AIOs, which you're really familiar with, you essentially reviewed every one of their new AIOs.
Just about, I think, yeah.
Yeah. They really got into power supplies, and they're doing a lot of really good things. So their Platinum series of their Steel Legend line, of course, their Cybernetics Platinum, 80 plus Platinum certified as well. And sometimes brands will be like 80 plus gold, but it's not Cybernetics, or like it's 80 plus not Platinum, but Cybernetics Platinum. It's weird that some like mix those up, but these are both Platinum. Which is good. It's also ATX 3.1 and PCIe 5.1 ready. So all those new graphics cards, you're definitely good to go there. They also have the cable and they use a neon green. So you know it's pressed all the way down in there, which again, really, really like.
Very important.
That cable has over temperature protection, so you're not going to melt your graphics card, and that still seems to be a problem these days.
Every now and then we definitely hear about it.
The fan will turn completely off when you're actually using the power supply as well. We talked about the 80 plus certification there as well. Just a really great power supplies. And their Steel Legend line has been like their give you everything you want at a very good cost. It's sort of like their, I wouldn't call it entry level because everything, again, this is a Platinum power supply, so it's definitely not entry level, but the Steel Legend line has been really good for them. And I really like these power supplies. And I think you can get this in 850, 1000 and 1200 watts. So definitely if you're doing, mid-range system to a high-end system, they definitely have you covered. So if you want to learn more, I don't have the banner in here. Oh yeah, I do. thinkcomputers.org/platinum, and that will take you to more information on their power supplies. So definitely go ahead and do that. And we have a lot to talk about this week, some crazy stories. One, we have two really cool reviews. Ryan took a look at a headset, which he's wearing. I took a look at a set of mice. I'm using one actually right now. And we have a really cool build this week for KSpot Friday. We haven't featured one of these builds in a while, so I'm glad that one is back. Lots of pricing things going on, not just with RAM, but other things. And then because of all the pricing, the PC market is down a lot. Pretty cool case from Silverstone. Really cool triple mode gaming monitor from Philips. This is really cool. Some PlayStation stories, and then a really cool sort of mod to turn an e-ink display into a Game Boy, which I thought was really, really cool as well. So lots to talk about. If you did want to follow along, we have our full show notes page that is right here. If you're ever wondering how do you get to the show notes, if you're going to the website, you just click on podcast at the top and brings up all the podcast episodes, and it is the latest one right there. And then you're right in there to our show notes, so you can go ahead and follow along. But Ryan, let's jump right into your headset review, which is the SteelSeries Arctis Nova Pro Omni. And this is the Omni because they have a Nova Pro.
Yep. But
this is the Omni, and I'm sure you'll tell us why it's called the Omni.
I sure will. This is the long name, right? We get a lot of products with long names, but again, like Bob said, it's the Arctis Nova Pro Omni. And this is kind of an iteration on their previous Pro headsets, right? That are in their Arctis series. So you're going to see a lot of similar features and looks and things like that. But it's really the Omni piece, which I'm going to get to again here in a second. But what that really means is you can connect a ton of devices to the Game Hub. And I'll show you the Game Hub here in a second. That's essentially the control module that connects all of your audio sources. So you can mix up to 4 audio sources into this. I guess I'll call it an ecosystem because you've got not only a wireless headset, but then you have the Game Hub. So you can mix them, not only connect them, but mix them live and listen to all of them all at once at different volume levels, all sorts of audio tweaks you can do. Plus, it's got Bluetooth connectivity as well. So you can have your phone tied to it. So like you take a call, you can configure this so that like your audio for your games and stuff drops down a level so you can hear your conversation but still hear what's going on like in your game.
You can
so
you do don't that,
have to 100% duck
you
out.
Can make that automatic.
Yeah it'll automatically do it. Cool. It's just there's like a slider.
There's some headsets, gaming headsets, that have the Bluetooth and you can connect it to your phone, but yep. It's not automatic, so you still have to adjust it when the call comes in. Yep. But that's cool that it automatically does.
Nope. It is something you have to enable, but it will do it automatically after you enable it. So that's really cool feature there. Packaging is pretty standard for a retail package. You do get a nice like bag to carry it with, which I like. I like being able to put headsets in bags when I travel with them. I don't know why. I just hate putting them in there like loose.
And you get. I always hate just getting that scratch.
Yes.
If you get the scratch on the headset, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And I think it also helps because there's magnetic covers on the end caps here, which I'll show you in a second. And like if you put that in your bag loose, it's possible they could get knocked off because they're just held on by magnets. They're pretty strong, but like, you know,
pull it out of your bag and then like it falls off and you don't notice.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So it comes with an instruction manual, an extra battery, because this is a wireless headset that does have swappable batteries. So you can essentially go infinite on power, which is really nice. You have a windscreen for the microphone that's built into the one side. And then you got a couple of USB cables so that you can power the Game Hub as well as charge the headset if you know you bring it along with you, like on a trip or something, and don't want the Game Hub with you, but want to still use it as like a Bluetooth headset. You can still charge it via the USB-C port that's on the side. So, just a pretty basic package there, but everything you need to get up and going. So, let's take a closer look at the headset here. Yeah, they offer it in 3 colors. So they have a black, a white, and a navy. I chose the navy. I think it looks pretty good. Just a pretty cool look there. Something different than your standard black or navy or black or white. Up at the top, like many of the other Arctis headsets, we have a nice soft cloth covered strap that goes over the top. It's not like a padded memory foam padding or anything like that. It does a good job. It fits my head really nicely. You can obviously adjust the length and size, things like that. You can actually adjust also on the sides here of the headset strap. You can kind of move that up and down to your liking as well. So sometimes you get a headset and it like pushes down on the top of your head. This has a lot of customization, so you don't have to worry about things like that. Really like that. It does have a lay flat design, which is nice. So you can, you know, pull it off, put it on your shoulders if you need to, around your neck, or when you're putting it in your bag, laying it flat just to helps protect it a bit there as well. Really nice ear cups. I'll get to those in a second. But here we are. So they are a leatherette material. They call it vegan leather, you know, synthetic leather, but a really nice memory foam inside there, which I really like. These are a design that goes around your ear, not on top of them. So really nice for long gaming sessions or just use sessions. You know, you don't have a headset squeezing down on your ears and causing discomfort. They fit my ears really well. These are replaceable, so you can swap them out, but they only offer leatherette replacements. I wish they have a I forget the name of the material.
More like a cloth.
It's like air weave is what they call it. Yeah. So I would like to see a cloth option for these. And I'm going to say hello to Destroy Lego Sonic because they are really adamant about saying hi in chat. So hello there. We do see you out there.
We do see you. Yeah.
And so we've got a couple of differences on the left and right side. The left side here, again, this removable center cap here gives way to a USB Type-C charging area. And then surrounding that area, we have like a volume scroll, which is also a click-in button. So you can actually control some aspects of the game hub with this control knob, which is nice. You also have a mute button and your power button here as well, which allows you to mute yourself and control things like that. And then down below that, we have the retractable microphone, which sounds really good. I'm not using it tonight because I didn't want to pull it in and out to demonstrate it because it'll mute it automatically. But we do have a review sample or an audio sample on the review. It sounds like it's one of the best sounding microphones.
Especially for wireless.
Absolutely. And then we do have a 3.5 millimeter jack as well if you want to use this in a wired mode for whatever reason that might be. And yes, like I mentioned, we have that Type-C charging port. And then we move on to the other side, and that's where we have our removable battery. Now, it does come with two batteries, so like I said, you can have one in there for use, and then you can have the other one actually charging in the game hub, which I'll show you here in a second. And then we've also got a Bluetooth button on this side, a little Bluetooth LED indicator. And these caps are just held on by magnets, like I mentioned. But you do get some pretty good battery life out of these. They're 670 milliamp batteries, and you can get up to like 60 hours out of this, depending on how you've got it configured, right? So in addition to obviously being a wireless headset, it does have active noise cancellation. And so that's not only for outside sound. So if you've got a noisy computer off to the side or your air conditioning's running, right? That's going to cut down on that. That's also going to cut down on battery life if you have that enabled, because that takes some processing power in the headset, takes up additional battery. And then there's also the optional AI noise reduction on the microphone to cut out background sound. So if you're using like all the features, you're going to get less battery life, obviously, than you would just using it as a standard headset. Now, moving on to the game hub, this is a picture of the front. You can see a big control knob on the right side here. By default, that's just going to allow you to adjust like your volume. But you can also click that button in to start configuring and adjusting things like balance, fade, your line levels, things like that, just depending on the menu that you're in. And then there's actually an LCD display, an OLED display, actually, right behind here that looks pretty good. And then on the back, that's where the Omni piece comes into this. So you'll see we have a 3.5 millimeter line in and line out port, plus three USB Type-C connections. So USB 1, that's what I've got connected up to my computer. You know, that's what they recommend there. But USB 2, for example, in my testing, I had connected to our Nintendo Switch. And then you could also connect like an Xbox to port 3. So then you can mix all those audio sources together. And like I kind of mentioned, listen to all of them, adjust their levels, things like that, all at once, so you don't have to like it's so convenient. And like my son is the perfect and I mentioned this kind of at the end of the review, my son's a perfect customer for this because he's a kid that he's got his gaming computer and he's got his wireless headset connected, and he may be like on Discord with friends, but then he's got his cell phone in front of him paired to like a Bluetooth earbud, so he'll have like one headphone off with an earbud in the other ear and his game going in the other. And he like listens to both. And I'm like, this is the perfect thing, 'cause it'll tie all of them in together into one headset, and he can adjust the volume levels. So, I'm thinking about giving it to him, but I really want to keep it 'cause it sounds really good. It's tough, man. But yeah, there's that, scroll button again for controlling. Speaking of the rechargeable battery, it just slides into the side of this and clicks in. So that just recharges, and on the front of the display, which I've actually got it right here, it'll show you like the battery level and everything of not only the battery. Let me see if I got a long enough USB here. Not only the battery inside charging right here.
Yeah, right there.
But
yeah,
it also shows you the battery of the headset and things like that. So I can adjust like my volume here, and you're going to see that dial go up and down. Cool. And then when you're talking, you can see those levels. That's my right and left levels. That's what I have it set to right now. If you say something, Bob, it'll adjust those levels.
If I say something? Oh, right, nice.
So it has that live view there, which I really like. Obviously, I only have it connected to the computer right now, because if I had multiple devices connected up, that's just a cabling mess for me to show you on in the podcast. But very cool there. So setting it up is super easy. You can use it right out of the box just by connecting up your audio sources, right? Your PC, your Switch, your PlayStation, your Xbox, just really whatever you want. But where it really comes, and here's another shot of that OLED powered on there. Where it really comes in handy is when you start using the software that SteelSeries offers. So you've got the GG app from them for your computer, or you have the app for your phone where you can control this as well. And just a ton of customization in there. I'm not going to go into everything, but some of the most important pieces are, you know, obviously the ability to adjust your EQ and adjust your microphone, you know, adjust the power on and off settings, how long you want it to stay on after it's been idle. But where it's really cool are in the sonar section here in the, where am I at? There's a game section here. I don't have it on the screenshot, but they've made a ton of custom game presets for this headset that are tweaked per game. And it's over 200 titles. Dude, so like there's one for Apex, which is awesome. They make little tweaks, which is amazing.
When I was using a SteelSeries headset and I would turn on the Apex setting, and I was like hearing people from so far away.
Yeah.
It's like those game people are like, oh, I'm just going to run the headset, enable the game presets, because they are so good and they're like a cheat code. Like however they've done it, again, I could hear people from so far away. So if you have a SteelSeries or any kind of gaming headset and they have like presets for games, enable it.
Yep. Try them out for sure.
It's definitely like a cheat code.
And then you can adjust, you know, how your chat and how your microphone is configured and its equalizer. Same thing for your microphone outside of chat settings as well. So just a ton of customization to how your headset operates and interacts with your system. So I tested out, like I mentioned, with Apex Legends. I tested out with Battlefield 6, some 7 Days to Die. I played a little bit of WoW. Like, I used the sound settings mostly in Apex and Battlefield 6 because those, like, positioning, right? Like you mentioned, really matter. World of Warcraft, not so much. 7 Days to Die, I'm just playing it single player. I don't really care about positioning that much, right? But in those two games, it can really make a difference there. Bass is pretty good on these as well, which I like. They're only a 40mm driver in each side. They're not surround sound like with multiple drivers. There's just a single 40mm. Any surround you're going to get is digital. I've been really happy with the sound, not only of the headset, but the microphone as well. Like I mentioned, there is a sample audio track on there. Here you can see the microphone with it extended out. That's just a really flexible boom too. I really like that. Super flexible. It's so much better than a straight one that maybe you can bend a little. Like it's really cool how it goes in and out. Yeah, like that. And then when it's back in, obviously it automatically mutes and gets out of the way. It is omnidirectional, so it does pick up surrounding audio a bit. But if you turn on that noise cancellation, it's just going to be picking up your voice, which is really nice. So here is our audio sample. And the really nice thing about the AI noise reduction is built into the headset. So if you're someone that's using this headset on a console and you're not using it on a PC or anything, that noise reduction happens on the headset. So it's not like you have to have an NVIDIA card to use NVIDIA broadcast in order to cut out background sound. Right.
Like the just GT a console player is doing the
exactly. It's all done on the headset. So you can take advantage of those features without a computer, which is really nice as well. So also wanted to mention, I already said it, but it is, of course, 2.4 gigahertz and Bluetooth, and it has really good distance. My office here that I'm in is down in one corner of the basement. Other headsets I've been able to use on the floor above just fine, but I actually have a two-story house, and so the top level of the house, usually I can get to like the top of the stairs and then stuff like kind of cuts out or sounds weird. I was able to go around the whole top of the house except for like the farthest corner from this, without any degradation into audio. So yeah, it's really awesome. Can't complain about that at all. Overall, really nice headset. Super happy with it. If you're that gamer or just user that wants to listen to multiple things, either all at once, or you just don't want the like hassle of having to switch inputs and software or things like that, just hook them up to the game hub once, get it all set how you want, and then just leave it, right? And then you turn your PlayStation on, play it, you're done with that, turn the Xbox on. You don't have to make a bunch of configuration changes afterwards. You set it, forget it type of thing, which is really nice. Up to 4 audio sources mixed all at once, which is, in my opinion, really awesome. You've got the active noise cancellation, the AI noise reduction in the background. That all does come with a price premium. This is a $400 headset. So you do have to keep that in mind. But if you're one of those people that has multiple systems and you want the convenience factor, I think it's probably worth it. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and the recommended nice award, because it's just fully feature packed, right? Multi-device connectivity, 4 audio sources at once. You got the swappable batteries, and you're not going to run out of battery before the other one's charged, right? Yeah. Noise cancellation, noise rejection.
I think
only downside is that premium price.
You don't think about it as just a gaming headset. You're getting sort of like a mixer built in.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're getting not just a gaming headset, but you're getting the mixer. And again, it makes it so convenient, because I know people that, they have their PC, their PlayStation or their Xbox, and maybe another device, and they have essentially a different headset for each one. Yep. And now you can just have that Game Hub. Is that what it's called? Game Hub? Or the
this is the GG.
Or the no the
what's oh the, oh yeah 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 Game Hub, the little hardware.
Yeah, device. So yes. you get the little Game Hub, everything connects to that, and then you just have one headset. And again, it's probably one headset that's going to be better than having, one for your PC, one for your Xbox. Exactly. Like, just a better headset overall. Yep. So I think that's where it kind of
comes. And you were talking about mixing, right? You can add additional channels, right? There's a button here for add media channel, add auxiliary channel, right? So you can, again, configure and customize how you want to route your audio and mix it and adjust very easily with the GG software. So really, really nice.
I'm jealous. I kind of want it.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, definitely kind of want that. But we'll move on to my review, which was a set of gaming mice from Be Quiet, and I'm still using one. It's actually right here. This is the Be Quiet Dark Perk. That's the name of this gaming mouse series, and this is. They came out with 2. So you have the Dark Perk Ergo and the Dark Perk Sim. They're essentially the same mouse, just a little bit different shape. That's the only difference. So they're both 55 grams. They both feature the PixArt PAW3950 optical sensor. So that has up to 32,000 DPI resolution, 8,000 hertz pulling rate. You have Omron switches in here. And as I said, 55 grams, and each one of these is just going to go ahead and you're going to get the mouse. You're going to get a really nice braided cable here. And then connected to that cable is going to be something like this, which is a little USB-C to USB-A adapter for that included cable. And then you're going to get a wireless dongle, which again gives you up to that 8,000 hertz pulling rate. And one thing that's really cool about the cabling, here you can see it right here, is that this part is what actually connect to your mouse if you were using it in wired mode. And what they've done is they've designed the connector so it goes up so you have less drag. So if you were going to use this wired, you're going to get less drag on the cable, which I think is just like a smart little design, which they've done. So I really, really like that. I would call these medium-sized mice. I mean, it's not necessarily all that big. Again, one's designed to be ergonomic. One's designed to be sort of symmetrical. And if we take a look, excuse me, you can see this one is the ergonomic one, pushes out a little bit more on the side. It's also raised on this side a little bit. So if we take a look, let's see which one's which. So this one is the ergonomic one. You can see it's a little bit raised, a little bit higher. So your hand sits at more of an angle, whereas symmetrical one is very much symmetrical. But both are pretty low profile. They're not necessarily like really big, like I said, big mice or anything like that. And again, they are very light, 55 grams, and they have a solid design. So you don't have any holes cut out on the outer shell, and it's essentially like a unibody design. And I did the press test where you press it as hard as you can until you break it. It didn't break. So that's really good there as well. And again, you can see the just a little bit of the design difference. So this is the Ergo one, and it's a little bit taller. And then the symmetrical one, or SIM, is a little bit smaller. Both of them will have USB Type-C in the front for charging. These are, of course, wireless mice. And you can see from the side as well. So this one, I believe, is the symmetrical, and this one's the Ergo. So again, that hump is a lot more present on the Ergo than the symmetrical. Each one of these also has a really nice, like on the entire mouse, not just like ones you put on, but a really nice sort of coating that gives you a really good grip on this. Like, it's a nice coating. I know you're a big fan of mouse grips. Usually
on
when
the sides,
mouse,
yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Usually when a mouse comes with a grip, you usually put it on. I know that you do that, Ryan. But like, this has a nice coating on it that gives you a really good grip, where if it doesn't have that plasticky feel that a lot of mice do if you don't put the grip on. So I really like that overall. And again, it didn't make it too, like, it's 55 grams, so it's not too heavy. The only thing, and let me see if you'll be able to see this, but you can kind of see like the, it is like a little bit of a fingerprint magnet, a little bit.
Oh yeah.
You know, you can kind of see that. This has been my daily driver, so it's, you know, but it will get just a little bit, you know,
smudged up.
Yeah, smudged, like, you know, because of that coating. But I like the coating. I'm a fan of it. So yeah, now the bottom does have some cutouts, but nothing crazy. You have two really big mouse feet and then one around the actual sensor. You get replacements too, which is nice. So again, if you're destroying this, you're playing a lot of games, you know, you will have extra mouse feet, which is great. And then there's a small button that turns the mouse on. And then this small button is going to be your DPI switch. And there is a tiny little indication LED, and it's so hard to see. Can you even see it? It's like right there. Like, you can't even see it. I don't even know if I could show it to you, because you can't see it unless it's on. Let's see if I can even show it to you. Let me get the DPI button and I'll hit it. Wait a second. So
I can see the line.
Yeah, I don't want to. I hit something, so I don't want to get out of StreamYard. Let me hit the DPI button so you can see it turn on. I keep on hitting the wrong button. I keep on hitting an actual mouse button. See, there it is.
Yep.
Right there. But it's so hard to see.
Very tiny.
Yeah, it's so tiny. I really like that. So, and it turns off. So when you're using the mouse, it's not always on. Some mice, it is always on. So that's really nice as well. So it's just like, it has just like that all black, no RGB lighting, nothing like that. I'm a fan of that. There's literally no point to RGB lighting on a mouse. So I really like that they kind of just took that out, you know.
Yeah.
This works with their IO Center software. You can download the app. You can also use it web interface. So if you're not a fan of software, you don't have to use it. You can just go to the IO Center website and it will detect the mouse and you'll be good to go. Pretty much what you would expect. You can reprogram the mouse, no problem. You know, there's 5 DPI levels, again, which you can cycle through. And again, pressing the button on the bottom just goes through those. Really easy to configure that. And then you can set, you know, your pulling rate and everything like that. By default, this will go to sleep after 1 minute of no use, which is a soft sleep. So if you move the mouse, it will wake up. And then there's a deep sleep, which it goes into within 5 minutes. And that deep sleep, you have to press a button for the mouse to work, which is kind of like a security feature.
I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a security feature, almost like somebody moves their mouse around to, like, you know, and they're like, wait, it's not doing anything. So that's kind of nice. And you can change those if you want to. But pretty basic software overall. But like I said, all you're really redoing is reprogramming. Maybe there's macros built into there as well, and you can do all of that. I really like this mouse. The click is not all that loud. It feels really good. As I mentioned, they are using Omron switches. They are optical switches for the two main buttons. I didn't mention too, each one has two side buttons on the side. So you have two main buttons, two side buttons, and then your scroll wheel has, you know, you can press that down. So you have a total of five reprogrammable buttons on the mouse. So really like that. It's priced at $99.90, which I would like to see it a little bit lower. But for what you're getting, again, 8,000 hertz pulling rate, you're getting super comfortable. I like both of them. And both of them can be used for pretty much any play style. You know, I really like the coating on there. Wire, you could do it wired, wireless. The battery life is really, really good as well. Great sensor, you know. So if you're looking for like, you don't like those just flashy RGB mice or mice.
That's what I was going to say. They look very generic, but like also like that's kind of what Be Quiet's thing is, right? They're like not overly flashy. They just are a good product.
It's just a good product. And I, like I said, both are very comfortable. I like the coating on the mouse. I'm a fan of it beyond, like I said, getting smudges on it. That's just going to happen. But feels great. And I'll probably be using this moving forward just because it's that comfortable. I like lightweight gaming mice, 55 grams. And I haven't had any issues with this at all. So definitely a fan. So check out my review. I didn't mention I gave it a 9 out of 10 and a recommended award. So two recommended awards.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, on a roll here. But yeah, just a really good mouse. Really, really good mouse. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday, of course, is where we feature a build or mod in the community. And this one is so cool. So we haven't featured a desk build in a while. And we have this one from GGF, which is in the newer Lian Li DK07 wood. This is their desk PC case, which is the dark wood. So we've seen a lot of dark wood stuff. And this one, oh man, I think I've asked you this before. Would you do a build like this? No. You wouldn't want your computer in there?
Nope. I don't know. I just not a fan.
I like having the extra desk space, I guess, because if your computer's in there,
I guess, but I mean, my computer's not on my desk anyways. It's on a cabinet next to it. So
that's true. But yeah, I really like this water cold build, obviously. Yeah. Look how much space you get, bro. I don't know. I like that.
It's a very deep desk too, isn't it? Like, it looks like it's like,
yeah, it's like
at least 36 inches or
more. If not more than that, a lot more than that. Yeah. It's a deep desk. I like that. Getting some close-up shots of the build here using that Gigabyte Aero Wood version motherboard, which looks great in this. And then, you know, extra wood accents on everything. And yeah, I like
that. Yeah, it looks like it has pretty good ventilation too. I mean, he's got a lot of radiators set up there with the fans. And looks like some of them are intake, some of them are exhaust.
Yep, looks good.
Intake on the front and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The chrome, or not the chrome, the copper tubing there just looks really, really good. The lights on.
Wonder, like, we know the desk is probably kind of heavy, and like just these components in a regular case would be kind of heavy because water cooled cases or systems are usually kind of heavy. How much does all of this thing weigh?
Oh, yeah. Like, you're not moving this really. No. I mean, I guess it's a desk though. So, like, a desk is easier to move than, like, you know, you lift up one side and move it, you lift up the other side. But yeah, it's going to be super, super heavy. But,
and does it, really, like, go ahead. That monitor isn't part of the desk, is it? Like, it doesn't have a monitor stand, does it?
No, but I think this is that one that, I don't know if it's the Corsair or who makes that one. I don't think that's the stand. I think that's like it attaches, but I could be wrong. That might just be the stand and I'm looking at it wrong. But I think that's the Corsair. Yeah, that's the Corsair. I don't know if that's the stand or the stand attaches to like your desk as sort of like a clamp.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure. But in any case, awesome build. Shout out to Stuart over at GGS. We have a question in the chat. Would you choose the ASUS ROG Strix X870E or the MSI MPG X870E Carbon Wi-Fi? Both are, of course, AM5 boards.
Or, and they said in their previous question or note, they said for long-term and performance. I mean those are both really good boards.
Those are essentially both really high-end motherboards. ROG Strix is pretty high-end. It's right below, if you're on the AMD side, that's Crosshair. Yeah, it's right below the ROG Crosshair. So very high performance. And then the X870E Carbon, the Carbon series is super high-end too. So I think either way, you would be good. I think if I'm choosing for me, I'm always an ASUS fan, you know, just because. But I think that it kind of comes down to two, like, they're both going to give you essentially the same feature set. So look at the feature set, see if there's something that one board has that the other one doesn't. Also, if you're doing a build, look at, you know, the design of the board, because that's going to be what's going to be showing. So I think you're going to be good either way, depending on, you know, what feature set you're looking for. But both are super nice boards. You know, again,
yeah, like the performance differences between the two, you're not there because they're using essentially the same components across yeah. the board. So you're not really going to see a performance difference in the motherboards. And then they're long term, like one of them may have a longer warranty than the other, but you're going to get you know,
the same use out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most motherboards, essentially, when it comes down to like the guts of the board, are the same. And then, you know, ASUS might put this extra feature, like one might have Wi-Fi 7 and the other one has Wi-Fi 6E, or one might have, you know, better audio. You have to look at what each board offers and kind of what you're looking for too, right?
Yeah,
like you're not even using, yep. if you're using a USB headset, then the audio doesn't matter, right? If, you know, it, you just have to kind of see what you're going to be using and then look at the feature set of the board. But honestly, either one of those are great. I think if it's me, I'm going ASUS. Just, I just have more experience with ASUS boards, but also, I mean, I've tested a lot of MSI boards, Carbon boards specifically, and they've all been excellent as well. So I really don't think you're going to go wrong either way. So hopefully that answered your question. From there, we'll, and I said, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard because they're like, they're, and the feature sets are very similar and you just kind of, yeah, pricing is an issue too. So like if one's like $75 more, which I can't imagine they are,
make sure it's really worth the extra.
Yeah. Make sure it's really worth the extra money. You know, that $75 could be like more RAM or better SSD or whatever that is. But we'll move on to news. And one thing we thought was coming out, it looks like it's not going to. We talked about an RTX 5050 9 gig. It looks like that's not happening. You know, NVIDIA recently re-released RTX 3060 12 gig. So having a 5050 9 gig would kind of cannibalize that. And the availability of GPUs and everything. So it doesn't look like it hasn't, it's not official, but from all accounts, it looks like the RTX 5050 9 gig is not happening. So if you were looking for that entry level card that has, you know, a decent amount of VRAM, you're not gonna get it with this 5050 9 gig from all accounts. You know what I mean? And again, this 5050 9 gig would have featured the 3 gig GDDR7. So that's why it's 9 gig, you know, 369. So, but it, yeah, it doesn't look like that's happening. So bit of a bummer on that. Pricing for stuff is going up.
Wonderful.
For graphics cards, it looks like
AMD
is going to put a 10% price hike on Radeon GPU and memory bundles. Starting, it's July now. So starting now. So expect graphics cards to get a little bit more expensive. There's also a story, Intel raised prices of their new processors up a little bit as well. So graphics cards, I mean, memory is always it's been expensive for quite a while. Graphics cards are going to get a little bit more expensive. And same thing with memory. Talking about memory, AMD announced their ultra low latency memory at Computex. And this, of course, you know, they said that it would be the same price or around the same price as the ultra low latency memory. It launched, and at the high end, it's 79% more expensive.
Jeez. Yeah, I saw a was it a G-Skill kit? I think I saw that was looked really nice. Yeah, it was this kit right here. Whew.
Yeah.
I do like the look of that kit. Like, I really like that e-spreader design, but that price is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Just crazy. You know, that cost for a 32 gig kit, even in today's RAM market, is kind of crazy. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm looking at buying a new laptop, and it, the one I have spec'd out has 32 gigs of memory, and it's only $1,600. Like, you're telling me this 32 gig kit is a $1,100?
Yeah, I think that like these brands are like going to be like, okay, well, this is the, you know, this is the ULL kit, so it's, you know, ultra low latency plus the other features that ULL has.
Got to pay the premium.
Got to pay the premium for it. Oof. So, yeah, just crazy. $1,200 for 32 gigabytes of, you know, DDR5. That's wild. That is wild. So maybe prices will go down a bit on these. You know, AMD, again, was supposed to work with these vendors so that this doesn't happen. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, you know, we've talked about the price of memory, graphics cards going up, storage has gone up, everything has gone up in price. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to wait to build a new PC. I can't upgrade right now. It's dumb to for me to buy new memory or whatever, right? Yep. So USPC shipments, according to the study, or according to the data, has 7% decline in Q1. Expected to fall to 14% overall in 2026, which is, you don't think that's a lot, but like that's a lot of
Lot of dollars.
That's a lot of dollars. You know, this is the biggest decline since late 2023. And that's
when I love how optimistic those future years are. Like, what are why would it jump back up to 20 ahead of 2025 if unless things are going to get better, right? Yeah. Like, yeah,
is this when like there's like a breakthrough with AI where it doesn't use as much memory? Is that what that is?
But again, I go back to that whole thing. It's like, oh yeah, it doesn't use as much memory. Great, we can get more out of it, but we still want more memory.
Yeah. So I don't see like a I did see the Micron's stock went down a lot, so maybe that's a good sign. I don't know. But yeah, so, you know, and we've talked about this before, there's probably going to be some brands that go out of business because of this.
Right.
You know, because that big of, like, you can't take that much of a drop in sales.
Over and over. Nope.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is optimistic. Like, you know, here, you know, there's 2025, we're going down 2026, and we're going back up. Hopefully that's the case. We'll see. But yeah, pretty, the downward trend isn't good at all for the industry. And again, for like smaller brands that kind of, again, you know, make just enough to kind of get by, or, you know, they're not making a ton of money and they can't take this, these massive hits. You know what I mean? But moving on to PC cases, Silverstone came out with a really awesome, reminds me of one of their older cases.
TJ07, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a TJ07, very much so. I'm not sure if I'm a fan of the wheels, but this is the Alta T1 aluminum super tower for enthusiasts. And it, like I said, it has the wheels and everything. Looks like they're TJ07 from back in the day.
It's like that and a mix of like what I would think of like maybe a Case Labs case.
Yeah.
Just because of the size and materials.
Yeah, definitely. Dual type
TJ07 back in the day was
on the front, which I like.
Yep. Yeah, this thing is huge.
Yeah, this thing is big. Dual power supply support. So this can be set up for AI use, which is awesome. So I really like that. Looking at the internals here. Like, Yeah, big motherboards in here, GPU support bracket frame thing right here. So again, really designed not so much for gaming, but definitely more for AI use. That's what it looks like from the side. Big, you know, you could put a 420 rad in here, probably, I'm guessing, by the size. There's what the back looks like. Lots of cable management in this, and it's all aluminum. Huge fan of that. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, plenty of space for storage. Like you said, like this is a workstation.
Yeah. Build. But I love big cases like this. You know, imagine all the room for water cooling you have in here and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so yeah, really like this from Silverstone. So if you're looking to build an AI rig, this would definitely be a case for that, because it's, and it's like, again, Silverstone knows.
Do we know the price on it? Do we have a price?
I don't think, but I can look.
That's all right. The Alta T1, yeah.
Yeah, so let me see. See the price.
Cases usually aren't too bad on pricing.
Here's on their website. I don't think it's like available to buy.
Not available yet.
Yeah, 420 millimeter cooling, you know.
Yeah, I don't see a price yet.
Probably aluminum, probably $399.
Okay, I was gonna say 500 minimum, but
yeah, we'll see if the pricing comes out, and we'll definitely go from there on that for sure. So also really cool triple monitor was released or announced by Philips Envia, and that's their gaming monitor line from Philips. Or how would you say that? Evna? I don't even know how to say that.
I don't know. Evnia? I don't know.
Evnia. Yeah, we'll say Evnia. So this is a triple mode. So we've seen the dual mode where, you know, you just hit a button and it changes the resolution and the refresh rate, which is really good if, you know, you're doing things like you're trying to be productive at a higher resolution. And then you want to hit a button and you're going to go into like Counter-Strike Source or like something where you want the highest refresh rate possible at a lower resolution. We've seen that. Now we have triple mode. So at HD resolution, 1920 by 1080. What's FHD? What's HD? Wait, hold on.
Okay. Well, HD is 720.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So at 720p, it's going to be a 540 hertz refresh rate. At 1080p, it's going to be 360 hertz. And at Quad HD, or 1440p, it will be 275 hertz refresh rate. So pretty cool that you can just like hit a button, go through those depending on, you know, kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
But
it's pretty wild that the minimum one, the highest resolution minimum refresh rate is 275 hertz. Like I'm sitting here using a 1440p 144 hertz monitor. Like the fact that the 275 is the lowest that this thing does is kind of wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like this, and I just like the easy to do it. You don't have to go in and change things and do anything. You can just hit a button. I really like that. And again, for people, like there's people who just, you know, use their computer for gaming and you like always would have it in the highest refresh rate or whatever you would do. But for people who use their monitor for other things, you know, this is an easy way to switch it without having to go through menus or do anything like that. Yep. So really cool. I don't think we have pricing. Yeah, I don't believe we have pricing on this one just yet, but pretty cool. And I'm sure we're going to see a bunch of triple modes by the time, you know, end of year rolls around. Yeah, we'll definitely see a lot of that. Now, we talked about last week, Steam Machine, pricing on the Steam Machine, right? Mm-hmm. Over $1,000.
Yep.
We talked about how maybe better to get a pre-built at that price just because it's more of a machine. PlayStation 6, you know, it looks like you know, manufacturing costs, you know, with the cost of memory, storage, everything more expensive. PlayStation 6 could cost $1,000. And Sony had said that they weren't going to take a loss on it.
Dang. Yeah, they're just going to pass that price right along to the consumer.
Yeah, because the bill of materials for what's going to be in it is $960.
Yeah, that's just going to be so slim.
That's just the parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy times. I mean, I think what the NES, how much was the NES when it came out? It was like 100, 125 or something. NES original price. Oh, really? Okay, it was $199 for the deluxe bundle and $149 for the standard action set.
And what is that? What is that money worth now?
Equivalent to $440 to $540.
Yeah, so that's kind of like what consoles have been at, you know, around that price. Both PlayStation 6 and the Xbox, whatever the highest end Xbox is, have gone up in price. They're like $899 right now. So $1,000 isn't that far off, and it could climb higher than that for a console. So that's kind of, that's crazy. Definitely crazy. Talking about Sony, they recently announced that they are going to halt physical game disc production by 2028. So I'm assuming that that means that the PS6
won't come with it.
Won't come with a disc. But like a lot of people use, a lot of like physical media people use it as a Blu-ray machine, like a Blu-ray player.
Yep. Guess they'll move over to Xbox.
You know, that's kind of interesting. Like what happened, like, okay, so no physical media, like what happens to like the stores that sell, like what happens to the, you know,
it goes and away.
But you also have to think too, like, okay, so like everything's digital download, right? And even if you're putting like a 2 terabyte, even 4 terabyte SSD in this thing, like that's only a handful of games.
Yeah. Well, and like, okay, so like that's the game side of thing, but going back to like people that watch Blu-rays, right? If you've got to stream everything now you've got to worry about, and Sony's part of this, right? We don't have it as the story, but they're removing 5 or 550 titles that you may have purchased digitally, and they're pulling them out of your library. So now you don't have the option to watch the file you downloaded or maybe stream it from a site, like, right? So, but now I don't have a disk drive to put the physical disk in, so I can't even watch it, you know?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you go on Netflix, you're like, you see like the thing, like leaving soon. Like,
yeah, you're like, why? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so like I buy a game and now it's like leaving soon.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. And it's like, well, I bought the damn thing.
Nope.
You know? And then also like, you know, it comes to, you know, also like internet connectivity. Like you don't have, you know, your internet goes down. Like, well, I can throw in my PlayStation disc and play the game.
Right.
You know, but now I can't.
Not if it can't authenticate whatever's required. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another thing that's just like, and again, people buy a console because it also is a Blu-ray. I mean, it might sound old now because like, again, you know, we're in the streaming era, but like so many people still do that. Yeah. And they're like, well, it's two things for me, so it's worth buying the console, right?
I mean, when PS3 came out, it was the cheapest Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
So you could just buy the PS3, get a Blu-ray player inside of it, and have a gaming console.
Yeah, I remember like when Xbox came out, I was like, I don't have to buy a DVD player. Now I have one. Like, yep. It's the Xbox, you know? So yeah, that's kind of crazy. This is going to happen in 2028. Yeah. It says digital sales now account for approximately 85% of total software revenue for PlayStation 4 and 5 ecosystems.
It's kind of surprising to me because the drives in these things are like, they're not huge, and we know how much space a PC, maybe people just don't play as many games. Like they just play one or two.
There's also like, you know, you go to Walmart and there's like the discount bin and you're like, oh, I'll pick up a couple of these and play them. You know, now there's no discount. Now there's no bin because it's all digital download. Which is kind of, I don't know. So all new games post January 2028 will be digital only.
Okay.
Yeah. And that just like makes you sad, you know, like midnight release, GameStop, like, you know, you or Best Buy and you know, you're queued up and you want to get, you know, whatever game. I remember Gears of War 2. I like stayed up to midnight to go to GameStop and get it the night it came out, you know?
Yep. Now it's like it's preloaded on your machine. You're just waiting for the to tick down and then it just enables, you know.
You know, you gotta like, you know, then there's gonna be all the early access. You know, I pay extra so I get early access to my game. I can play it 2 days before, you know, all that stuff. So pretty interesting that You know, I saw some comments, people were like, oh, they're just gonna partner with Steam and it's just gonna be a computer.
Maybe.
You know, so it's going to be, going to be really interesting. Talking about something that's super cool, though. This engineer transformed an e-ink dev board into
a Game Boy.
Game Boy handheld, 60 hertz Game Boy handheld. And we have the video in the article. Check out the video. It's much better than showing you the pictures, but I absolutely love stuff like this. Like, I think it's super cool. The display is 960 by 540 e-ink. It achieves 60 hertz. If you've ever used e-ink, there's like a lot of ghosting, and like e-ink is really made for like readers like Kindles and stuff, so like to be able to play a game you'd get a lot of ghosting, but he was able to overcome that, and like just a really cool like project that this guy did. And I mean, like, how cool does it look? Like, that's
pretty neat.
Yeah,
at first cool. I was like, oh, they made these buttons for it, but then I was like, oh, that's the display.
The
buttons are on the display, and then I don't know if this is like a little wireless
remote. Yeah, probably.
That's kind of cool too.
But super cool. So like I said, we have the video in the article if you want to go ahead and check it out. But I think it's, like I said, definitely is really, really awesome. So that wraps up news for the week. Talking about what we have coming up next week, still doing some work on this MSI laptop. So this is the Stealth 16 AI Plus laptop. Really great 16-inch laptop and pretty thin. For a 16-inch gaming laptop that has a dedicated graphics card and all that. So I'll be telling you guys about that one next week. Also, we'll be telling you about a case that I think Ryan should have reviewed because it's specifically made to house an action figure. And if you look at Ryan, there's all kinds of stuff back there I didn't have anything crazy to display. So, you know, he might have been a better suit for this. But this is the Cooler Master Master Frame 360 Panorama. And it's a really interesting case. This is the Panorama version right here. It has a little stage here where you can put an action figure, and there's even spotlights that you can like put on your action figure. Which I thought was really, really cool. So I've already done the build. It's actually sitting over there. Check the website for that very soon, because that was kind of fun. And if you're like one of those people that display action figures, like how cool, like the front of your PC case is an action figure.
Yep.
You know, so they have that. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, then they have the one with the LCD.
Yeah.
Too, like at the front, so you get like a moving action piece right behind it. Yeah, it looked really cool.
Yeah, very cool. So stay tuned for that review. And then Ryan's taking a look at another AIO from a new brand. I don't think we've ever reviewed anything from this brand. This is X Astra, and this is their Astra LZ360 ARGB. And this was kind of cool because this has like a pixel display. Is that
what
that
is? Like a 16 by 16 retro looking LED screen, or I'm sorry, 28 by 28 on the screen.
And then the actual fans also have that on the side. Yeah, that looks really cool.
Sorry, no, I was right first. Yeah, 16 by 16 on the display, and then 28 by 8
okay
on the fans there. Yeah,
Nice, nice. So Ryan will have that for you next week as well. And then finally, we have our question of the week, and we were talking about PlayStation, you know, six possibly being $1,000.
Yep.
You know, with the Steam Machine being over $1,000, is $1,000 going to be the new normal for a console? You know, we only really have two consoles these days. Like, I guess the Switch, maybe, right? But like, yeah, for a console, or even for
a traditional console, yeah,
even for like a Steam Deck too, like, is the starting price now going to be $1,000?
I hope not.
Is that going to become the new normal?
The problem is that like the price is at what it is now, but if, you know, Ramageddon ends, it doesn't mean the price is all of a sudden going to just drop back down, right? We've seen this so many times,
and again,
with so many other things over the last 6 years that like
these companies, you know, just things just become a normal price. Like when Nvidia up their price, you know, that's like, oh, okay, this is going to be our new pricing. You know, the only time that's went down is I remember when
Intel high-end
desktop, they essentially doubled the price for like either one generation or two generations. And then they went back down.
They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So hopefully $1,000 is not the new normal.
I think,
you know, $499, $599, $699 is fine for those consoles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially when you're taking away other pieces of hardware, like physical disc, right? So you're locking people into either an ecosystem for streaming or for, you know, purchasing games only via your digital
and again,
store.
And you're taking away the,
taking
the
things away.
The Blu-ray player.
Right.
Especially if somebody has like a big catalog of Blu-rays. I know people that have like walls of Blu-rays, yeah, you know, so you're taking away that ability for them, which kind of sucks too.
Pretty soon it'll be the TV won't allow you to connect a Blu-ray device to it. They're like, oh, mm-hmm, no, that's old hardware. It doesn't work. So like, no way of even getting around it.
You know, then like the content police come, you connect
exactly
it.
Like,
they like, you know, it's like one of those futuristic, like dystopian futures.
We heard there was a Blu-ray player connected to a TV. Yeah.
Are you hiding Blu-ray under the, you know, in the attic or under the, you know, thing? Yeah. Yeah. It's like the streaming.
Don't give them ideas. Media.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Right? But yeah, like, yeah, just $1,000 is just a lot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, used to see articles and videos on like the $500 budget PC, and that was for everything. Now, like $1,000 budget PC is like, well, you can kind of make it there, you know,
yeah,
for a gaming PC, anyways. Yeah, so I don't know, it's scary.
Yeah, definitely scary. So we'll, you know, the PS6, we'll keep you updated on what we hear, yep, as far as pricing goes. But if what's going on right now in the hardware market, you know, as far as pricing and you know, demand, it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better. And that's a still very preliminary pricing on it. So it could go even higher. So we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens with that for sure. So that is essentially it. I unfortunately won't be gaming tonight. I forgot to tell Ryan
about
the podcast.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, oh, I wonder if we're gaming tonight. But I was going to say, I'm probably not going to either. So
yeah, I have so much, content to get done and everything like that. So I will definitely be doing that. But really excited for our reviews next week. And we have a lot of content coming out. So definitely stay tuned for that. And of course, on all of our social media and YouTube, yep, and everything like that. We only had a couple of people in the chat. We didn't have Old Man in the chat this week, but we have Destroy Lego Sonic and Winter Game in the chat. So we appreciate you guys. And of course, we appreciate everybody who listens later. And we will catch everybody next week.